We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
And welcome to the PHLY Eagles podcast on a Tuesday high noon. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, joined, as you can see in the middle there, for those of you watching on YouTube, Devin Jackson of the Inquirer is here to talk draft with us. Devin, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Doing great. Less than a week out from the draft, and it feels like it's kind of been a marathon getting here, but now it's coming up pretty quickly. So excited to see, you know, where they, what the Eagles do at 22 and really how is first couple rounds shake out.
We are excited to talk about all of that. Our focus generally today is going to be on the safety position, but I'm sure that we will deviate from that septum a little bit, Zach, and maybe get into some big picture stuff. Maybe talk about what brought Devin here, but how you doing, Zach?
I'm doing great. Pump Devin's here. He said before the show this is his favorite time of year, or he loves this time of year. I can empathize, or I can relate there, because this is fun. Vince was saying to me, you seem serious. I said, this is serious stuff here. We're talking draft, right? So I'm enjoying it and excited to talk safety.
Where does this rank among your favorite times of year?
Every time. I mean, I don't like those summer months when nothing's going on in football as much. But my favorite time of year is definitely like once the season starts, September. You got games. Everything's geared towards Sunday. That's the best. But I love training camp. I love draft season. Honestly, it's the lulls in the calendar that I don't like so much.
The times when you are not able to work as much, essentially.
Essentially, yes. Yes. Or there's the, but also, like, it's not just the Eagles. Sixers have a huge game tomorrow night. Flyers have a huge game tonight. Philly, like, every sport's going on right now. During the fall, every sport's going on, right? During the summer, I love baseball, but There's not as much otherwise. So,
well, yeah, I have the nice, probably I'm guessing like 1 week window here where I can walk to the office and not be like super sweaty. I'm happy about that.
Yeah. It's one of the appeals of having this office.
There you go. Yep. All right. Before we get to safety talk and getting into Devin's thoughts here, Zach, we're going to hear from Howie Roseman this afternoon. We're going to hear from Devontae Smith. What are the things that you're looking forward to hearing from them?
And Nick Sirianni as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's a chance that nobody asks him any questions.
So this is the annual pre-draft press conference for Howie and for Nick, and I want to mollify expectations here, because Howie won't give you anything here. He's not going to talk specific prospects. He won't talk strategy. He'll talk generally about the class. He's going to say that they have to be comfortable with 22 players on the board, but
18 non-quarterbacks.
18 right? non-quarterbacks. But really, this is the first time Howie's speaking in this setting since they traded Hassan Reddick. So it's the first time you're hearing from him about the trade, about the return, about the process there, right? I imagine there's going to be some Hassan Reddick questions. Certainly, Devontae Smith, eager to hear about the timing, why he wanted to do this now, right? That's a popular question there. From Nick Sirianni, you're, you know...
Who was good at rock, paper, scissors?
No, there's going to be questions. It's the start of the offseason program, right? Like they reported yesterday for the start of the offseason program. This time last year, they actually didn't report when they were allowed. They reported a week later. It's our first time speaking to him since they made these changes to the offseason calendar, such as having a mandatory minicamp, having more OTAs than they have in the past. I don't know if that question is going to come up, but this is really our first time speaking to Nick about that, and Nick probably won't be available other than draft weekend until the rookie minicamp. So that could come up. But with Howie, as far as the draft, you're going to get questions today about offensive tackle, offensive guard. Like, is it important that the tackle has guard versatility so he can play day one? You might hear about going after a skill player. Howie's going to tell you. I've covered a lot of Howie press conferences over the past 13 years. Howie's going to say when they've run into trouble, they've pushed for need. So you have to go with value. That's going to be a big talking point there, that they try to draft proof their roster. So they try to make it such that they can go and play a game this weekend without needing the draft to fortify a position. So,
and to be fair, I think they have done that.
Certainly. Now, as we discussed last week, right guard might be the biggest need on the team, depending on how you view Tyler Steen. Corner, depending on how James Bradberry looks when they actually work out in front of the coaches. But I think that's going to be a big talking point from Howie.
Do you, and I'm sorry to keep us off track here.
No,
for a
I love this.
Here, but as you talk about the players reporting to camp or reporting for the offseason process, do you believe that that's like stolen valor? They're not reporters. They shouldn't use the word report.
No, not at all. They're literally reporting for it. I do think though, there's too much made from us reporters about like the attendance at these things. Mm. I mean, it's voluntary, obviously, and I gotta say they don't do much this time of the year. Now you get into like phase three when you're actually on the field and they're working with the coaches, and even that it's not like a training camp practice. It's not like an in-season practice, but you are actually doing work right now. They're in meetings, they're lifting weights, they're running sprints. There's really nothing that these guys are doing in the facility that...
I feel like that's probably how you started your morning today, Devin, right?
Not quite. I would say I slept in a little bit and walked my dog. And
good for you. Then, but you're working night hours.
Yeah, working the night shift. So that's been a little bit of adjustment last couple of weeks. But I've done it before, you know.
Okay.
Working in sports.
What's the
generally.
Shift?
So depends on the night, depends on what's happening in the Philly area. So tonight will be like 4 to 12.
Oof.
Just because, you know, you got the Phillies game, the Flyers game with playoff implications, and then there'll be the same thing tomorrow with the Sixers. So, just around to kind of handle those things when they come in, especially when they come in like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah. There used to be a reporter at the Inquirer who, would like call the copy editor every like 30, 40 minutes. Hey, do you mind changing this word here or adjusting this sentence? They probably have a poster of me there that like they throw darts at. Like this guy made our nights miserable. So
I'm sure it wasn't quite all that bad.
But yeah, I did call the desk quite a bit.
All right, Devin, before we get into the safeties, tell us if there are our listeners who are not familiar, how long have you had the draft sickness? How long have you been a true draft sicko?
I will say really since I've been like 9 or 10 years old.
Okay.
You know, I grew up a big sports fan, watch basketball, football, baseball in the summers when there was nothing else on. I would watch every sport that was on TV. So with the NFL draft, there's such a fascination and watching like Mel Kiper growing up and talking about the draft and Todd McShay and their banter back and forth. And then, you know, really as an adult, I would say I really got deep into like studying players like towards the end of the 2020 class. And right before the pandemic hit is when I started to kind of ramp up and watching players. You know, I started with like the Big Ten, you know, wearing kind of like a freelance thing, covering the draft, covering Big Ten prospects. I think that was the class that had like Cesar Ruiz, is one of the top guys. Micah Parsons emerged at Penn State that year. Obviously, came out the year after. But I remember watching him like on, you know, during those Saturdays and then Sundays. And then from there, just continually building up and writing kind of freelance to different websites. And the Inquirer asked me when I joined, shortly after I joined the Inquirer in 2022, August, they asked if I'd be interested in covering some draft stuff down the line. And, you know, last year's class and this year's class have been covering full time for the Inquirer.
Now, one thing I respect about Devin is I call him a weekend guy at the combine. And what I mean by that is, so we talked about combine coverage back in February, and a lot of people, us included, Bo and me, you get there early in the week, you're talking to the coaches, the GMs, you know, maybe like it's those high profile offensive positions.
See you later.
But then by Thursday and Friday, Indianapolis is clearing out, except for some really dedicated reporters who are there at like 7 a.m., 8 a.m., right there at the podiums talking to every prospect who comes through. I respect that about you. You same thing at the Senior Bowl. During the draft coverage, when you have exposure to them, so you're not just watching the film, but you have exposure to them, what are you specifically seeking?
So I kind of just want to pick their brain about what I'm seeing and seeing if it kind of matches and kind of confirming what I see on their film, but also just who they are as people, because I think a lot of the talk around the draft prospects is what they bring on film, their traits, their size, their speed, et cetera. But there's also that person on the other side of it as well that, you know, is going through this process for the first time in their lives and trying to impress NFL teams. And, you know, I just generally kind of want them to get the feeling like it's not a transactional type of thing where I'm just there to get what I need and post it on social media. And
who
show.
Have you talked to, you know, yeah. like all this. Yeah, exactly.
So like, I like asking those things just to get an idea of like who the Eagles are going after, what positions they're targeting, and which made the offensive line day that, you know, on that Saturday for the combine so great because they had met with like four or five different offensive linemen. But also, like, I'm so in tune with like some of the weird things they have going on. And like, for example, one cool story that I found out just by talking to like a few offensive linemen is kind of the relationship between Tyler Guyton, who I'm sure we'll talk about later in this podcast, and Christian Haynes. They trained together out in L.A. Leading up to the Senior Bowl. And when, you know, during the practices when they both were aligned together, they were like celebrating each other's wins. And, you know, I went and talked to them about that. And they have built a really nice relationship just by going through this draft process together. So you learn little tidbits and nuggets like that through the draft process. And it's really cool to see like these guys like grow under the spotlight. And one more story before we get to safeties, like Will McDonald last year.
Yeah.
I was the only reporter that talked to him after the first day of the Senior Bowl last year. Obviously, he went first round to the Jets, but just being able to build that relationship. And I saw him again at the combine, and he asked me to for my gamer tag to play.
Oh, really?
To nice. Play, you know, video games with him.
How is he as a gamer?
I didn't get to, okay. to play him, unfortunately. But then he asked me to come to his pro day. So, like, you nice. Build those types of relationships.
Ames Eye was beautiful this time of year.
Yeah. So you build those types of relationships with players sometimes and just talking to them, you know, like everyday people. So that's the coolest part of this process, I would say.
Well, one thing that I also think has stuck out to me from the way that you have been covering these guys, and you can follow Devin on Twitter at @RealD_Jackson, which I take as a shot at DeSean Jackson. I feel like that's pretty clear that you're putting him down. But that's the only guy you're putting down, because I am very guilty of this, and that is talking about the negatives of a prospect or the negatives of a profile. And the job is go find guys who can help your team. And I feel like you have done a very good job of focusing on the positives of a player and like how they can fit.
Yeah, as a former player myself, I just kind of put myself in their shoes and try to relate to them and how they would feel going through this process and seeing all these different people talk about how they might fit, you know, with your particular team, the things that they need to work on as prospects. For me, it's just like they know those things. You know, they've been told by teams, obviously, what they need to work on from scouts, from their coaches. So to me, I don't want to kind of lay into that more and just kind of focusing on what they can do for a team. And I think that's kind of gets lost in the draft process. It's not about like stacking up how the quarterbacks will go or saying which tackle is a project or ready to play right now. But what do they bring to the table outside of their skill set? You know, what do you see, the specific things you see on film that really stand out? So to me, it's really cool to be able to talk about them in a positive light, just because I know at the end of the day, if they hit where they should be, that's what everyone's going to be talking about anyway. So that's kind of the focus for me, is bringing that positive, you know, reinforcement to what they bring to the table, and just continue to watch them grow. And everyone needs to grow as a player, you know, coming out of college. No one's a perfect prospect. And I think we should focus more on what they can do versus what they can't do.
Speaking about perfect prospects, if I can sneak in one question here. You were at the Penn State Pro Day this past weekend. Oh, I'm sorry, the Penn State Spring Game this past weekend. I made a remark last week when we were talking about Penn State film that every time I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, number 11 is awesome. Abdul Carter from LaSalle High School, right? That one.
Okay.
And
I think you got that one.
Yeah, it's moving from linebacker to edge rusher. This time next year, are we talking about like a top 10 pick? Because he's a pleasure to watch.
I think so. You know, I think, you know, I've tweeted about him quite a bit too. And to me, I just feel like when you watch him, he moves at a different speed than everyone else on the field, and frankly, everyone else in the conference. I know how talented the Big Ten conference is, but they're literally running plays so he can't, you know, mess it up or wreck it. And he still is making plays, you know. And, you know, I wrote a story about him kind of making that transition from linebacker, defensive end. And, you know, I asked James Franklin on a Rose Bowl press conference about him. And he said he moves at the speed of only one other player that we've seen come through here. And
Sharif Miller.
and he said he were, you know, obviously wearing the number 11 as well. So I think the comparisons to Michael Parsons are warranted in the way he plays, you know, how he's involved every play. And I'm really excited to see him go through the process. And, you know, obviously we have a couple of Philly guys in this draft process this year, but I really think he can, you know, be one of the best we've seen in quite some time.
All right, we're going to get into why safety is maybe the most difficult position in a little bit. But before we do that, let's talk about Bet Parks, because the episode today is brought to you by the Bet Parks app. Get in the zone with the Bet Parks Sportsbook app. Money is in the moments. And we know we got a big moment coming up tomorrow night. Sixers play-in game against the Heat. Can Joel Embiid overtake Heat culture? I guess we're going to find out. And if you want a little extra hooch on the action, you can do it on the Bet Parks Sports app. Win big with all-day action. And if you win your first $10 bet, you can earn $125 in sports bonus bets. You play for fun. You love to win. You bet. Download the Bet Parks Sportsbook app and play along with us. Must be 21 or older. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bo mentioned that it's great this time of year to walk from your home to the office, and I agree with that. But there's one downside this time of year too. It's allergy season. If you're feeling sneezy, runny, and itchy, it might be pollen allergies, which can make you feel pretty miserable. But there are ways to get relief. And by the way, those symptoms, they could include itchy, red, and swollen, or your eyes start to water, sneezing, nasal congestion, runny nose, brain fog, a cough, headaches. You might think this is a cold. It might just be seasonal. It might be seasonal allergies. That's why you need to sign up for Rite Aid Rewards emails at riteaid.com/rewards to receive email pollen alerts for your area. If the pollen count is high, try to stay indoors. You can keep windows closed. You can run the AC if needed. But sometimes you just need to go to Rite Aid, your local Rite Aid, and there's over-the-counter options like the nasal rinse to help flush out your nasal passages. When symptoms are flaring up, there's antihistamines that you can go to. There's different types of Rite Aid brands and medicines that they have at Rite Aid to help you during allergy season. If that's not enough relief, Rite Aid pharmacists are they can offer different types of allergy medication, like a decongestion. You can always ask the pharmacist at Rite Aid for recommendations on ways to get relief during allergy season. Visit your local Rite Aid today. Stock up on allergy relief or catch up on immunizations for RSV, shingles, and more. Walk in or schedule a vaccine appointment at RiteAid.com.
All right, let's get ready to talk safeties in this draft. Now, we know that the Eagles, at the moment, they've got Reed Blankenship. They've got C.J. Gardner-Johnson signed to a big deal. He's got some position versatility. They've got Sidney Brown, who they like. Red star player, had a pretty good rookie season, but coming off the torn ACL, probably won't be ready until at least early in the season. A position where they could use some depth. But safety, and this is why you have a very difficult assignment here today, Devin, is the position that the league has probably struggled with the best in terms of evaluating who is actually the best prospect in the class. If you look at every single position over the course of the past decade plus and break out who are the Pro Bowlers and all pros, it is the highest percentage by those position groups of those guys who are found in round four and beyond on day three. Almost a third of those guys found on day three. And that doesn't mean that it's not the position they value. You know, guys are being drafted in the first round and the second round, and they're not always hitting. So let's start with, generally speaking, Devin, why do you think it is that safety is such a difficult position for the league to evaluate?
I think at the college level, at least, they're used in so many different ways. It's not really a specialized position. Sometimes you put your best secondary athlete at safety. Sometimes you put, you know, kind of the bigger, you know, more athletic guy at that position. But I think, you know, it's such a difficult position to evaluate just because how much do teams value it in kind of their scheme of the defense? Like, it's a valuable position, but, you know, teams don't want to pay guys top of the line, top of the dollar to be their, you know, high paying safety. You know, you look at Xavier McKinney, he was able to get a pretty big deal for the Packers over the summer. But if you're looking at the Giants' perspective, why not keep a guy that brings so much value to your defense? And I just think everyone thinks it's a replacement level position, but then you lose a guy and you're like, wow, we really missed that. You know, missed that presence.
Like literally what the Eagles did this year, trying to, you know, right the wrong of letting C.J. Gardner-Johnson go.
So it's a position where it seems like, okay, you know, he made this type of production, but is that a product of, you know, the pass rush or whatnot? So everyone, like, they kind of point to all the different other aspects other than, like, what the safety actually brings to the table. And there are just so many different things that they're asked to do, I think, and it doesn't always translate team to team. I think as well, like so many different deployments of safeties and the skill sets and how sometimes they're playing out of position because of some injuries as well. So I think that those factors combined, you kind of get a conglomeration of guys that should be valued higher, but they're not. But I think the league is starting to understand that good safety play is just as key as having elite corners or an elite pass rush, because you still have to have those guys on and the final wave of your defense that are playmakers. And you know, teams are starting to learn they can isolate some of these safeties in one-on-one situations over the middle of the field as well.
Yeah, you see the problem. It's not just that they're hard to find, but they're hard to evaluate as well. And or I should say not just hard to evaluate, but hard to find, because you look at every draft since 2020. Really, Kyle Hamilton and Dax Hill were the only safeties taken in these past four drafts in the first round. And we're looking at, so another year here, Bo and I always do these shows, these draft preview shows, where we identify like the first round guys at the start. And it really doesn't seem like there's a first round safety this year. And this would be the fourth time in 5 years that happens.
Yeah, the first round safety class this year, I mean, if you really, really want to go that route, I mean, I could see guys like Tyler Newbin and maybe Jaden Hicks is two guys that could maybe slide in the back of it. But generally speaking, I don't think there's any first-round safeties this year, just because I don't think there's any guys that you drop in right now into defense and, you know, they're, you know, playing at a Pro Bowl or All-Pro level. I think there's some development still needed and just some specific roles some of these guys need to be able to fill and kind of that learning curve, obviously, as well when you get to the NFL.
And I wonder how much of that is a skittishness from the league because they know that they're not great at evaluating the position. I mean, it's hard because there's so much unknown when you're watching a safety on film, right? You don't know exactly what his responsibilities are. Now, you know, most scouts probably have certainly a better idea than you or I do. But also, like, what makes a great safety on a play is often, like, the ball's not going their direction.
Sure.
Right? Like, it's like a quiet excellence that it would take to find. It's interesting that the highest rate of Power 5 guys is safety. So it's a position where, for whatever reason, like, that high level of experience against the best competition seems to matter entering the NFL. But let's talk about those top two guys you mentioned. It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler Newbin is more of the prototypical free safety ball hawk type, whereas Jaden Hicks is much more of a sort of like downhill, some like C.J. Gardner-Johnson nastiness with the physicality with which he plays. Is that a fair dichotomy?
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, with Newbin, you know, he kind of flashes with the ball production, his ability to take passes away over the middle of the field, jump passes on short and intermediate concepts. But Jaden Hicks, to me, is so interesting because he was all over that Washington State defense. And it feels like he's just kind of scratching the surface of what he can be as a true safety guy. And I see so many different paths he could be taken in terms of where teams might want to deploy him. You know, you got the potential at his size to be kind of that dime linebacker spot where he can take away tight ends over the middle of the field and be able to take away those underneath passes. But I can see him in a dual safety role. He has the sideline to sideline speed, the instincts, and then he flies downhill in the run game. You know, he really packs a punch when he hits guys. And I remember watching the first three plays against Wisconsin. And, you know, he's going against Braylon Allen, the running back from Wisconsin, who's 6'1", 235. And he lays him out, you know. So I think, you know, he brings so much to that, the power, the instinctual kind of really excellent athlete dynamic. When you look at the testing, you know, Hicks is a much better tester than Newbin is. So I think that kind of weighs into how teams might, you know, see him in terms of fitting into their defense. But I think those two guys, to me, stand out as two of the top safeties in this class. But there's a bunch of other guys after them that are really intriguing, too.
Hicks is 6'2", 215, ran a 4.5 40, as you mentioned. Tyler Newbin, a little bit older, and is 6'1", 205, ran a 4.59. Zach, do you think, let's say it gets to the Eagles' second round pick. They've addressed two big needs already with the first two picks. One of these safeties is maybe the best player on their board. Do you think it's a position that makes sense for them? Do you think either one of these guys makes more sense?
No, it would surprise me if it's the best player on their board too. I think that's part of why they paid CJ. They took Sidney Brown, like you mentioned, pretty early last year, third round pick, red star player for them. So it would surprise me.
I would be surprised too.
Of the two, I would say Newbin probably makes more sense. But again, we haven't seen this Vic Fangio defense in Philly yet. And the big thing that is between CJ and Sidney Brown, you got versatile guys. You can play multiple spots, and that's a safety question that I wanted to ask both of you here. And that, I don't want to say it's the elephant in the room at the position, but you know, there a safety, it kind of has like a relief pitcher element to it, where if you have a starter and he doesn't work out, he can become a dominant relief pitcher. You know, Malcolm Jenkins was a top 20 pick. Corner wasn't his best spot, safety was, right? And I say the elephant in the room because Cooper DeJean is someone who every scouting report on him says this guy can play three positions, right? He can play corner, he can play slot, he can play safety. And it's kind of like the fallback on him is, well, if he doesn't fit at corner, he doesn't work out at corner, he can be a great safety. When you evaluate Cooper DeJean, and because this is someone who the Eagles could take obviously at 22, and it could be that line of thinking that maybe this is a down the road safety for them, right? Do you view him as a true corner, or do you think this is a guy who, if you're on the show with us 4 years from now, we're talking about a starting safety in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he's a true corner in just in my evaluation, but I also understand why people want and see him moving to safety. But when I look at what he brings to the table in terms of the caliber of athlete that he is, his ability to close on short and outbreaking routes, and really what stood out to me is how he can maneuver traffic as a corner too. I think that's kind of an underrated aspect we don't really talk about in the draft process, but the ability to maneuver traffic and still make plays even when there's a lot of chaos around him, and trying to work through and sift through kind of the quote unquote trash of the middle of the field, yeah, where there's so much going on. I think that's kind of my favorite aspect of his game, and what I think translates best to corner, because corner or nickel, frankly, just because I think you need to be able to do those things. And as a safety, you can do those as well. But I think his experience at corner, the high level play that he has at corner, and just how he can make plays on the island, I think really stands out to me, which makes me think that he's going to be a corner at the NFL level. But I can also see those skill sets translating to safety, but I would say he's a corner.
Would you be okay with that at 22?
Yeah, I would absolutely. I'd be ecstatic,
okay,
if I was an Eagles fan, frankly. I just think we become, the NFL has become such a, you need to have guys in the secondary. It can't just be, you know, your traditional two elite corners, because you're not going to have the money to pay both guys. But you need guys that can make plays, can move around the secondary, that can be matchup kind of erasers. Because when you look at some of the best teams in the NFC, obviously you look at the 49ers, for example, and how they use Deebo Samuel, the Rams, how they use Cooper Kupp, and now Puka Nacua. They are both guys that can be on the, in the slot and on the outside. So you need guys that are able to kind of match up with those types of skill sets. And you can't just have, can't throw anyone out there at nickel, and you can't throw anyone out there outside corner either. And from what we've seen in the past from Vic Fangio's defense, he likes to move around his defensive backs. Obviously, having Jalen Ramsey last year and being able to move inside and out was so critical for the Miami Dolphins defense. So I think Cooper DeJean will be able to fill that type of role and being able to cover in multiple spots.
Do you think, Zach, that Cooper DeJean is, like, if you had to put one name on paper as the most likely Eagles pick right now, would that be your guy?
So it's hard to say in this sense. Okay,
Nobody's more than three turkeys. Right?
Yeah, but this is my point. I think the position they're most likely to take is offensive tackle. I think the player they're most likely to take is Cooper DeJean,
right,
if that makes sense.
Yeah,
right?
I think that does make sense.
So because I don't know which tackle is going to be on the board. I think Cooper DeJean will be there at 22. And I think it's a pick that you can, like, rationalize, that makes sense. Position of need, I think, like, the part we said about slot and safety with him raises the floor a bit, but still the athletic testing creates a high ceiling there. I know this doesn't factor into it, but the special teams return ability is, like, something you're probably going to hear more now in these draft press conferences, in these draft rooms, because kick returns are back in the NFL. So, yeah, if I had to say right now the player they're most likely to take, I know we're doing this game when? Monday? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, yes, is the game. So when we draft players that they would draft, yeah, I would say Cooper DeJean's the most likely player, but I still think tackle's the most likely position, if that friction makes sense.
I think it makes sense. Yeah. I think if I had to write a name right down right now, I think I would probably write down Tyler Guyton.
Interesting. Okay. Because you don't think Mims is there? You think they're more Guyton than Mims?
I think there's a better chance that Mims goes earlier, and I think that they're more likely to, as you said yesterday, Ty goes to the line. I would like, if it's Tyler Guyton or Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think I would go with Tyler Guyton.
Now, I've been the one pounding the table that this isn't someone you just keep on ice for 2 years because Lane Johnson could get hurt. But do you...
Not a guard?
Yeah, but that's my point. Do you think the not a guard part of it, do you think, like, as much as Howie talks about value, as much as he thinks not this year, but the year after and the year after that, 5 years instead of 5 months, as I like to say, do you think there's a part of him that says, man, I want this tackle to be able to play guard right away?
He might not have that choice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it depends on who's on the board.
That's why, so Bo and I did our big board yesterday, and we both came to the same conclusion. We don't feel comfortable with 22 names there, right? That they might have to trade up to 17, 16 to try to get the guy that they want.
22 on our board, if I can pull it up right here, was Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Okay.
It was like Guyton was 18, then Wiggins, Byron Murphy, Chop Robinson, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Graham Barton. Anybody you like there?
Not a 22, really. I mean,
that feels not good enough.
It's like, I like
Kool-Aid. Like, DeJean was up at 15.
I like Kool-Aid McKinstry a lot. I like his game.
Me too.
And he feels like a very old school type of player where he's not going to really get beat too much. Like, he's always there. You know, he's always right on your hip. And like I wrote in kind of my breakdown of him is that he plays like a savvy NFL veteran. Like, he understands what he can and can't do, some of his limitations as a defensive back, and
it feels disparate from his name. Like, the name Kool-Aid, you expect like a flashy guy,
the coolest guy
who's making
field,
plays all over the place,
so right? But
not just a steady Eddie.
Yeah, but he was so, and just like, it's hard because like Tyrion Arnold on the other side is making these flashy plays, but you really have to like kind of isolate Kool-Aid when you watch him, because you see what, you know, what Caleb Downs is able to do, and now he's off to Ohio State, and Terry Arnold, that you kind of get distracted away from watching him. But I feel like he played at already an NFL level, but I think he's more of a floor guy than a ceiling guy, if that makes sense.
They should change names. They should swap.
No, I think so. We'll have a cornerback show on Friday, I think. But my one line summation is that Nick Saban did the scouting report for you. Like, he started this guy as a true freshman, right? So I think that really says something. And teams weren't throwing to Kool-Aid's side as much, right? Yeah. Kool-Aid was the guy going into the year. Like, if you look at those way too early mock drafts, Kool-Aid was the guy who was high, more so than Terry and Arnold.
All right, let's get back to safety. And I know from your Twitter, Devin, that Dadrian Taylor Demerson is one of your guys. Mm. This is the safety from Texas Tech, 5'10". 197, ran a 4.41 40 yard dash, a little bit on the older side. Why is he one of your guys?
He is kind of a ball of fire out there for Texas Tech. You know, I was watching another prospect before he kind of just continued to make plays and kind of demanded my attention. What he's able to do kind of as a slot defender, defending tight ends. There's a play that he made against BYU. I was watching Kingsley Suamataya. Tyus film, but there was a play made against BYU where, you know, they kind of did a play action fake on like first and 10 from like the 5 yard, like their own 5 yard line. And he's like over the middle of the field. He comes down and gets sucked into the play action fake. And the quarterback goes to the tight end up the seam, and he recovers, goes up, takes the ball away one handed, and makes the interception, then proceeded to make a couple plays from depth and coverage. As a deep safety, as a nickel guy. So I really like his versatility to be able to play both nickel and safety. They align him at both spots at Texas Tech. And he just is a player that you get into the room and feel pretty good about what he can do wherever you put him, whether it's at nickel, whether it's at safety, kind of being a deeper coverage guy, being a guy more towards the line of scrimmage. He brings so many different aspects of those aspects to his game. And then you talk to him, and he's really excited and juiced up about what he puts on film, and just getting to know him, and knowing that the Eagles had Darren Sproles meet with him at the Shrine Bowl as well.
Good nugget.
Which is pretty cool to hear. And he talked about kind of being in awe of him walking in the room, you know, which shows how revered Sproles is. But Demerson is a guy that I think goes on day three, but – you know, you talked about kind of that statistic of round four guys and later hitting. I could see him being one of those guys.
I like Zach that he's one of, I believe he might be the only prospect in the draft who has the word dad in his name. I feel like that's on brand for this show.
That's analytics right there. The size there, 197. If you look at the historical context of Howie Roseman's safeties, I don't want to say 200 pounds has been a threshold, because it hasn't, but you don't see a lot of safety sub 200. Blake Countess was more of the nickel safety hybrid. He was 185. Other than that, Jaquan Jarrett was 198. Kirk Coleman was 197. Otherwise, you're looking at 211 pounds, Sidney Brown, 206, Kayvon Wallace, 207, Ed Reynolds, 209, Earl Wolf, 207, Nate Allen. And that's going to factor into a safety I'm going to talk about any minute.
Well, let's hear it, because this is your guy, yeah. Zach. You want to make the case for your boy, Kalen Bullock.
Yeah, I had Kalen Bullock in my top 100, and there probably aren't a lot of people who have Kalen Bullock in their top 100. Look, Kalen Bullock, those watching, if you love Andre Waters, if you love Wes Hopkins, you're not going to like Kalen Bullock. Kalen Bullock is not the guy you're going to have go up and hit somebody. Okay, Kalen Bullock is, but you know what?
You're a pacifist as a prognosticator.
It's a different NFL. Kalen Bullock, when he's out there, he is, like he moves differently than other safeties. He's what, like 6'3", 185? I got to pull my numbers here. 6'2", and 188. 4'4", 840. But Kalen Bullock, he moves and he plays like a corner playing safety. To me, he is, you talk about your center fielder type, you talk about your sideline to sideline safety, that's what Kalen Bullock is. When you watch him, when you read about him, he is not helping in run support. No. He is not hitting, he is not hitting hard. But you know what? He has elite ball production for a safety. Right? Or I shouldn't say elite, high level ball production for a safety. He's anticipating passes. You know, there was a play against UCLA, and I'm seeing in my head where it wasn't the interception. He was pattern matching with the tight end, and he knocks the ball out of the tight end's hand when it's trying to go over him. He had a pick six against Stanford, was it, when, like, you can say the quarterback threw it to him, but Kalen Bullock knew exactly what he broke on the ball, right? Kalen Bullock, to me, now he's a converted wide receiver. And
he plays like it too.
Yes, exactly.
No wonder he doesn't want to hit.
So, yeah, Kalen Bullock from USC, he's 20 years old, okay? He's going to be 21 this season. I think he's going to be 20 throughout the year. I got to look up the birthday.
I actually think he just turned 21.
Just turned 21? Okay. Yes. Kalen Bullock is someone who jumps out to me as like the new age safety, can run sideline.
April 30th, he turns 21.
April 30th, there, okay. Draft weekend's going to be a fun weekend for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine it will.
Yeah.
You feel like that? He gave an accurate scouting report?
He did, yeah. I like Kalen Bullock as well. He was one of the better pro teams I had at the combine.
Okay.
You know, he wore kind of a chain to kind of honor his grandmother and dad. Who both pass away, and you know, he's just a really smart player and understands how to, like you said, pattern match and those instincts and ability to take away the football. I think he had 11 interceptions over the last 2 years, leading USC's defense. Obviously, USC's defense isn't great. You know, you have to kind of sift through and watch some explosive plays given up. You took some bad angles as a tackler, but what he brings as in terms of coverage and in terms of his speed and instincts, I think makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think he should be talked about a little bit more. I know everyone talked about Cameron Kitchens as kind of the true center fielder of this class. But you look at Kalen Bullock and kind of the value he's going to bring in terms of when teams pick him and actually select him. I could see him end up bringing more value to a team than Cameron Kitchens will when he gets selected.
Let me ask you about that. I have a couple woodpecker you rathers, as we like to call them. So third round guys, Cameron Kitchens from Miami or Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest. Let's say they're both on the board. Where would you rather go?
I think I would lean Kitchens. I do like Mustafa, but I do think he's a bit on the smaller side. I think he's like 5'9", 5'10".
Yep. Sounds 10, tall to me.
5'10", 206.
So I think he's probably going to end up being more of a slot player than he would be in terms of a true safety, which I think kind of makes me lean Kitchens more a little bit for that more prototypical safety type. But I do worry about Kitchens' athletic profile a little bit in terms of the way that he tested. And then, you know, he gets a good jump on the football and has those true center fielder skills. But how does he know when kind of learning that balance of taking those chances versus just making the right play. And to me, you kind of teeter in taking more chances than making the play that's in front of him at Miami. It led to big interceptions numbers, but also gave us some big plays as well.
Next up, in terms of a day two guy and someone who probably like fits more neatly into exactly what the Eagles have gone for over the past 2 years would be Javon Bullard from Georgia, 5'10", 198. Everybody says he's a great character guy. What would you make of him in the third round?
Yeah, I think he will be a great selection in the third round. It really, frankly, after pick 50, I think Bullard's coming off the board anytime after that just makes a lot of sense because he played both nickel and safety like full seasons. Like he started at the star position at Georgia, which is kind of the reserve for kind of that nickel safety hybrid. Sometimes as that extra run defender in the box. And he really excelled at that and kept Tyke Smith off the field in 2022.
That's a shame.
Yeah. And then 2023, Bullard moved to a true safety role and that allowed Smith to be in that star role. So you see kind of that ability to play both positions at a high level. I thought in 2023 he did a better job of working more inside out in terms of his run fits. And being more of a ball hawk. I think he's more of a safety natural, but I think he can fit at nickel. So I really like what Bullard brings to the table. Obviously, the Georgia background makes sense and the Eagles potentially being interested, but I just think his ability to see and go get the ball, his aggressiveness, his ability to make tackles in open field and make plays both as a run defender and pass disruptor. And he's done it at multiple spots, makes his floor really high.
All right, last one. I'm going to give you four names, day three, and I'm looking for this prototype of a guy who had a lot of starts under his belt at Power 5 conference, might be a little bit undervalued, maybe a little bit limited athletically, but you can sort of see what he brings to the table. So who would you rather have of Jalen Simpson from Auburn, Ketan Oladapo from Oregon State, Zach's boy Tyke Smith from Georgia and Philadelphia, and Evan Williams from Oregon?
Oh, this is a tough one. I like I really like three guys on that list and Smith, Williams, and Simpson. But I would take Simpson as the guy that I will really, really like on day three. He's a former corner that moved to safety, and he definitely plays like a corner at safety. You can tell that he has those instincts. When he sees it, he goes and gets it. He had a really nice game against Georgia, matched up with Brock Bowers. He had a nice pass breakup. On a seam route down the middle of the field that could have been a touchdown. He swatted away as the ball was arriving and was a little bit limited.
Some could argue that Bowers could have gone up and got it. But,
Some could. Some couldn't. Yeah.
But Simpson, he was a little bit limited. I think he had an injury at the beginning of the season, so he didn't get to play a full season. But when he was on the field, Auburn's defense really, really took it up another notch. I know they had two corners in Nehemiah Pritchett and DJ James that – should probably be day three draft selections in a draft. But when I look at Simpson, what he brings to the table, what he did down at the Senior Bowl and how disruptive he was as both as a nickel and as a safety, because they put him at both spots. I really like what he brings to the table. I think he's going to be a great value pick and a guy that I think the Eagles should select in round four or five.
There you go. You got any other favorites on day three, Zach?
Well, come on. You mentioned it. I have to do it.
You got to give him some love.
As the advocate for all Philadelphia players. And by the way, on the Anthony Gargano show today, we had Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
He actually was not on today. He's going to be coming on later this week.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant. Coming on there this week. We had Bo Wolf on today. That's the key. Yes. Tyke Smith, okay, from West Philadelphia. Yep. This way, okay? And then he went to West Virginia, which is... that way.
No, that's north. West Virginia is not north.
No, I'm aware. No, right here is, so we got east, we got west, we got south, we got north. So that way, toward that way. Okay, southwest that way.
Yeah, there you go. You worked it out.
He was at West Virginia for 2 years, went to Imhotep here in West Philly, in Philly, but transferred to Georgia, was there for 3 years, starter last year, productive player, I think four interceptions last season, 5'10", 200, sub 4'5", 40 in the 4'4s. And, I mean, come on. He's a Philly guy. So he's obviously high on my list. He'd be on my all-Philly team this year. Pay attention to him. And, got to give a shout-out to
him. Well, Zach, you know who else is from Philadelphia?
Who?
Trumark Financial Credit Union. Because
actually,
when you,
Fort Washington.
When you join a credit union like Trumark Financial, you become part owner, which means profits come back to you instead of going to shareholders. They've got better rates, lower fees, a better return on savings, and more flexible options with all the same digital tools and tech to make our lives easier. But here's the key. Like Tyke Smith, Trumark has local roots, headquartered in Fort Washington with 24 branches in the Philly area. They serve our community and our people right here at home. Becoming a member of a credit union has so many benefits over being a customer at a bank. It is a total no-brainer. So head over to trumark.com/PHLY. That's TRUMARK.com/PHLY to learn more or to find a branch near you. That's trumark.com/PHLY. Federally insured by the NCUA.
I mentioned last week Jim Salisbury joining PHLY as a contributor. Exciting news came out yesterday, and you might have seen it as well. Les Bowen joining PHLY as a contributor as well. His first column was yesterday. But if you want to read it, you have to be a diehard member. And being a diehard member comes with great perks, okay? We're really building up our diehard section here. You get premium written content for the members at allphly.com. You get 20% off events. You get a free shirt when you become a member. There's merchandise for all teams there. You also get access to the members only Discord where you can communicate with Bo Wolf directly. How much of a perk is that? People always ask us how you can support the show, and the answer is to become a PHLY diehard member. There's a lot in it for you. Head over to allphly.com now and join the best sports fans in the city.
I feel like the name, it seems like just as I have scoured through the beast and went to try to find the word mark, only one draftable mark in this prospect. A lot of guys who Dane Brugger will say his dad's name is Mark. A lot of dads as Mark, but there's only one true Mark, and that's Mark Perry, the safety from TCU. What do you know? It's a safety. What do you make of that, Zach? Why do you feel like the name Mark is no longer
You know
draftable?
What? I've done a lot of thinking this draft season, and I haven't thought about the dearth of Marks, but there could be something to that.
Of Marks, that should be the name of this episode.
That seems to be something you would know. Why are there fewer Marks?
I don't know.
Are they marked men? Right? Are they?
There you go.
Yeah.
They're off the mark.
They're off the mark. I don't have a good answer for you there.
Okay.
Did you consider Mark?
Maybe we could ask Howie Roseman.
Did you consider naming Casey Mark?
Mark was not on our bracket, I believe. But that's okay. I got nothing against the name.
Yeah, not for us either. But
There you go. Devin, a lot of love in the chat, it seemed, for the Mark Martin shirt.
Oh, good job.
Now I was rocking. Wondering where that was going. But
was that the plan all along?
Sometimes the plan just comes
that
to
is
you.
Impressive. That is really impressive. Yeah. Let's hear the backstory of the shirt.
Mark.
eBay. Okay.
That's the backstory.
Okay.
But yeah, so my girlfriend's really into NASCAR. And,
Flex.
Yeah. She grew up a Joey Logano fan, and has been kind of a dire fan for him really since he started in NASCAR, and he's won the NASCAR championship a couple times. But I started getting into it. Went to my first NASCAR race last year, the Chicago Street Race, which was really cool. It almost got rained out because it was like record rainfall that weekend in Chicago, but. But yeah, so that's kind of the backstory behind it. Been getting into NASCAR, something I watch kind of around this time of year on Sundays. I kind of fill the void of no NFL.
You know,
that's the most NASCAR talk we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, I like that. People in the chat say I'm bringing zero drip today with my outfit. That's literally what was said. I gotta say, I gotta keep Bo honest sometimes, right? Number one, and then
what does that mean?
I can't outdo you with my fashion every day.
Right? Well, that's not what keeping me honest means.
Well, that's what I mean. Like and then the other thing too is
I think you're using it. I think you're using the idiom reverse.
Okay. And then I want you to view me not just as like a fashion icon, but also for my football opinions. So sometimes, sometimes like I go.
You're more than just a sex symbol.
Yeah, I gotta go a little more basic some days, but I will work on it for future episodes.
Okay. I mean, I didn't notice the comment, but I think
I saw it was
I mean, we don't have a Mark Martin shirt.
I don't own a Mark Martin shirt. Now I got to scour eBay.
If you had to wear a NASCAR t-shirt, Zach, whose visage would you adorn?
I really don't know much about NASCAR. So Joey Logano. Maybe that. I would probably wear the Pocono Speedway because that's a shout out to Philly. Or Dover because that's a shout out to Delaware. So I would do either a Pocono Speedway or a Dover shirt.
Believe it or not, I've done some work in the NASCAR space. Zach.
Have you?
Yes. Okay. Some social media content for the Return of the Tide Pods car with Matt Kenseth, and was on set as we recorded some spots with Matt Kenseth at the Joe Gibbs Racing Factory. Big Show was there. Paul White. Dynamic stuff.
Have you been to a NASCAR?
I've never been to an event, actually. Okay. I've been to the Hall of Fame, and I've been to the Joe Gibbs place, the headquarters, and I've sat in the car, but I've never been to an event itself.
I haven't either. During my time covering UVA and Valtech, Bristol Speedway was a big deal down there, and I spoke to a lot of the other writers about covering NASCAR, but I've never been to a NASCAR event. Could be something I need to add.
There you go. All right, Devin, outside of safety, as we close in on the end of the episode here, who are some of your other guys who you might want to pound the table for? Maybe give us like one undervalued like first round guy who you think is not getting enough love, and then somebody beyond that.
See, kind of undervalued player first round.
Maybe we've talked about everybody too much for anybody to be undervalued in the first.
Yeah, I think that is kind of a tough one to answer just because I feel like we've kind of run the gamut on first round guys. So I'll go to the second one in terms of just favorite pure player, just that comes to mind. I would say Zach Frazier, from West Virginia, is one of the guys that I really like. I don't know if I pound the table for him for like the Eagles, but I would pound the table in general.
Okay.
And I think I would take him first round, honestly, if I were a team that needs interior offensive lineman or center, just because I think, you know, he has kind of the wrestling background that everyone loves in interior offensive lineman, you know, multi-year starter, captain, but also what he is able to cover up for West Virginia's deficiencies next to him. You know, he's blocking two guys on one play several times throughout his film in terms of picking up multiple blitzers, passing off stunts, just a really smart player that fought his way to try and practice down at the Senior Bowl, even though he broke his leg maybe 2 months, 2.5 months earlier, which shows you his dedication, what he wants to bring to the table, and just his grit and determination. You really have to have that grit to last so long as interior offensive lineman. We saw it with Jason Kelce, obviously, who retired. But I think Frazier is going to be a really good player, and the team is going to get really good value out of him, whether he gets selective, you know, early in the second round or early in the third.
My last draft question for you. We haven't really talked about quarterbacks for obvious reasons. I mean, Caleb Williams is the number one pick. Who's your number two?
My number two is Drake May. Okay. You know, I know the league seems to be trending towards Jaden Daniels and him being the second pick for the Commanders potentially, but I still really like what May brings to the table, you know, as a processor, as a the ability to make plays out of structure. I think his running ability has been kind of undersold as well. I know a lot of people love Jaden Daniels and what he brings as a runner, but I think May has some escapability to him, although I don't think that's his calling card. But I like what he brings to the table in terms of down to down, you know, I wouldn't say consistency, but down to down thought process and how he's getting to reads and how he's making plays. And I think his weapons let him down a little bit in 23 as compared to 22. There were some perfectly placed passes on this film, whether it was against Clemson, NC State, and what he's able to do to make plays under duress, under pressure, and how he still was able to lift North Carolina into making them competitive, even though their roster was a far cry from what Sam Howell even had back when he was at North Carolina. I think it was really impressive. And, you know, it gets a lot of comparisons to Justin Herbert, which I can see. But I think, you know, landing in the right spot is going to be key. I don't think he should. I think he's a guy that's going to need some time to develop and really kind of hone in his skill set. But I like what he brings more in terms of his profile and have done it for multiple years as compared to Jayden Daniels, who obviously blew up this past season and still is a really good player. He's slightly behind, Drake May in my ranking, but I like May a lot.
Brenna, do you mind flashing up the super chat there? I can't see it from there. We go for Bo Wolf. It's Fuwa. Somebody was telling me that Fuwaga is that there's an N. It's Fuwanga, but I guess not. There you go. There's a super chat. I'm gonna have to double check that based on. But I appreciate that.
I'm the one who mispronounced his names, not Bo. So yeah. I will take responsibility.
I actually do have one last question for you.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Devin, you alluded before to having been a player yourself. So tell us, what position did you play and who in this draft reminds you most of the player that you were?
That's a good question. I actually know the player right off the bat, but I played tight end and fullback at the college level.
So Ben Sinnott.
Yes.
Bang! That's my guy.
Oh, look at that. Okay. What college?
Lindenwood University.
Very nice. Very nice.
But yeah, I think Sinnott, because he played kind of in terms of like...
He's a gamer.
Yeah, well, that, but also,
and you can tell he knows what he's doing. Like, I feel like Ben Sinnott's going to be working at the Inquirer in like 10 years. It's going to be great.
I mean, maybe the Eagles select him, so we'll see.
All right, I like that. Well, Devin, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. We will be back tomorrow at noon. We'll talk about what we heard from Howie Roseman and Devontae Smith today.
More and Nick Sirianni.
And again, we don't know that. We may not address that. I mean, he might not say anything. So
I'll say hello to Nick, just so I know that he's speaking.
So on the show tomorrow, we'll say you said hello to him.
I'll say hello to
Nick. We'll spend 20 minutes on that.
Nah, I'm always happy to talk about Nick. Nick, you're appreciated on this seat here.
Probably more so here than in the building. That'll do it for this episode of the PHLY Eagles podcast. Thanks again to Devin. You can follow him at RealD_Jackson on Twitter. And we will be back tomorrow. Make sure that you like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Thanks to Brenna for stepping in today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And as always, we love you.
Y'all silly like the mayor.